This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Here's a swing and a ball driven into center field. Hit pretty well. Langford goes back. This is beyond him, off the track and off the wall. Langford kicks it a little bit. Hayes is at third, being waved home. He'll score without a throw. It's an RBI double for Tommy Pham, and it's now 7-2 in favor of the Pirates.
You're an idiot and you don't know baseball.
Ranger fans, you're not dreaming.
How can you not be romantic about baseball?
That was Hixey with a call in a game you heard right here. Rangers tried to go for the sweep, did not get there. They lose to Pittsburgh on the road, 8-3. Jack Leiter, four innings of work for him. Not the best start. Not the best start for Jack Leiter. Four innings, three earned, five hits. And then, you know, the bullpen. I mean, they really, it was just Bush the rest of the day. And he went four innings as well. But not the best way to end the series. Now you go to Baltimore, 5:30 first pitch tonight right here, 105 to the Fan. Coverage starts at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, hopefully they can. I mean, it's a, you're not going to apologize for 1-2 out of 3. Pittsburgh obviously isn't the greatest measure of your level of play, but they've been pitching well. I mean, giving up 8 to Pittsburgh is tough. That's a little like giving up 8 to Texas in recent months.
Yes. They have had the same kind of problems that we have had all year. And then yesterday, I mean, they were hitting the ball hard. They also had, there were two opposite field ground ball singles through the hole in that big inning that they had, which you don't see that in today's game all that much. Just, you know, going the other way with the pitch. But then they were lacing them over the head of Garcia. Like, it was just a line drive right over Adolis's head and then a line drive right over Wyatt's head. And it's just, I mean, look, they got hot for that one inning. And that was basically the game. That one inning was the game. I mean, outside of that, it's a 3-3 ball game. But I think I saw a stat one time that the team that has the biggest inning in any game, right? So, like, if the biggest inning in any game is a 2-run inning, they win, like, 92% of the game. It's crazy. It's a crazy number.
Damn.
But whoever has the biggest inning wins the game at like a 9 out of 10 rate.
It makes a lot of sense.
It does. Yeah. It's Corbin on the mound tonight in Baltimore, 5:35 right here on 105.3 The Fan. What is the troubling Ranger stat?
Okay. So this is something that I saw over the weekend that just kind of stood out to me and I hadn't really thought of before. So there was a metric, a graphic done that was posted over on Reddit, and it took MLB play-by-play data, and it tried to look at the average win percentage change per game by team in 2025. So basically what this means is the larger your number is, right? Like the larger percentage of your games that have changed average win percentage, if you have a large number of it, that basically means that you've seen the wildest swings in your games.
So variance.
Yeah, where it's like you were 70% to lose and you ended up being 70% to win with a big play or something like that. Basically, big time, either what it shows is big time crunch time comebacks or big time clutch moments, or the reverse of it, that you're giving them up. So you're either giving up a bunch of them, you're giving up a bunch of big leads, or you're just taking a bunch of big leads. To me, I think that when you look at the teams on this list, a lot of it is going to be teams that are making big time plays in big time moments to swing the things in their favor. And so it looks at the biggest win percentage variance change. The number one team in baseball is the Mariners. They have the largest percentage change per game. The Red Sox, then you've got the Giants, Diamondbacks are up there. Then you've got teams like the Mets, the Dodgers, Braves are up there. That's a team that's blown a lot of leads. That's probably where they're up there. By far, the smallest variance of any team in baseball is the Texas Rangers. Not even close.
So they win the games they're supposed to win, and they lose the games they're supposed to lose?
Basically means when the Rangers get up in a game and they've got a high win probability, they don't lose. When they're down in a game and win probability, they're never swinging that back their way.
Oh.
And so what I think you're seeing here with this win probability variance
is a true 500 team then.
That's the thing. I think what you're seeing is Texas doesn't have the players to do what it takes to swing a game into their favor quickly. Mm. That's what I think you see. I mean, you literally swing the game in their favor. To me, that's a massively troubling stat where it's like if Texas at 500 is just so down and out, that means a 2-0 game in the ninth inning or even a 1-0 game. That's a pretty high win probability. That means you don't have the guys to change that at the plate.
That's troubling because you want to be able to hang on to the leads, and they seem to be able to hang on to the leads, but you've got to be able to come back in some of these games.
Yeah, and all that means is like I said, that just means you're generally stable either way.
Yeah.
When you're not supposed to win, you're not winning.
I saw this thread over the weekend and it really kind of hacked me off because it's from a Twitter account, Uncovered MLB. Is it a covered uncovered? And it just starts off with like, I think we need to start asking more questions about the 2023 Rangers and how they managed to pull this off. And it goes on with like, they weren't good leading up to it, and they haven't been good since. Like, make it make sense. And they're like, call me a hater, but if you want, but the Rangers D-backs World Series is the least memorable of the past decade. Nobody talks about it. No major moments, zero aura. It's like it never happened. And then it goes with the Rangers record by season from 2017 to now. 78-84, 67-95, 78-84, 22-38 in COVID, 16-102, 68-94. 90-72 win, 78-84, 36-39 at this point this year. Investigate 2023. Just what? Let everybody know, Travis Jankowski has more World Series rings than Aaron Judge. They're just going down on this. And did someone forget to give Adolis his meds this year? You know, they're basically saying that he's a PED user. And just the haterade about that season. The haterade.
Here's the thing. Texas that year at the plate had an OPS plus of 116. The only team that was better was the Braves.
So, okay. So that means they were 16% above league average.
That means they were the best hitting team in the AL, and they were the second best hitting team in baseball.
Yeah.
And then their pitching was just above league average.
Yeah. And look, do you have to get lucky to win a World Series? Yeah.
Sure.
The Braves getting knocked out. And then the Phillies getting knocked out by Arizona and the Phillies gagging away that series. That's massive.
Texas had the fourth best run differential in baseball that year. It was second best in the American League. They were not a bad team at all. Did they struggle in September? Yeah, they did.
They did. But, you know, and look, I mean, so they popped. They had a one pop year. And then since then, you know, they haven't gotten back to it. I don't know. It's kind of bothered me.
Well, because it's just
haterade.
That's all it is. Which Texas is a weird team. It feels like to just be locked in on as the team that you're despising. I mean, they finished second in the West that year, and they were up for most of the year because that came down to like the very end of the season.
Mm. It did. It really did. So I got into it with LSU fan over the weekend.
Why do you do that to Broadus?
Why did I get into it with LSU fan? Well. Had nothing to do with this, but LSU is your national champs.
On the ground to second. The flip to the shortstop, Milam. On to first, double play. And the Elite Eight for LSU. The Tigers have their eighth Men's College World Series championship. LSU, your national baseball champions, with a 5-3 win over Coastal Carolina.
Westwood won with the call. LSU wins the Natty. They deserved it. I think they went undefeated in the entire College World Series. They didn't lose a game in the entire tournament. they snapped. Coastal had like a 26 or 28 game win streak coming into this. They had been they hadn't lost since like April. Like they were just a juggernaut of a team. Well, I got into it with some LSU fans over the weekend. I guess this was on Saturday night. So the LSU pitcher, Cade Anderson, he's gonna be the number one pick or number two pick or number three, right? He's a top three pick. It's a one zip game. He has 115 pitches and they roll him out there again for the ninth inning. And this one game in and of itself, I would not have had a problem with. This is just a problem, and this has nothing to do with, this is just a problem across college baseball. They don't, to me, protect these kids enough.
It's Quinn Matthews again. Remember, he's the Stanford pitcher that threw 160 pitches?
Yeah, now that's
2 years
much.
Ago.
Yeah, that's a bit much.
No, but I mean, it's the same sort of just like, no, go out there, throw it.
Augie was notorious for this at Texas and at Cal State Fullerton before that. Like he just didn't care. And look, if you don't care about pitch counts, I think they're overrated too. But obviously, Major League Baseball cares. Like they view that as something important.
Mm-hmm.
There's not a pitcher in Major League Baseball that is throwing 130 pitches. Like they don't even have guys throw 130 pitches in a no hitter these days. We had a guy have a no hitter in the sport this weekend. I mean, he was thrown out there, and he was at 103 pitches, and he got pulled. That was on the same day. He had a no-hitter, 103. Now, granted, national championship, I get it. This is not about LSU. This is just about college baseball. They don't care. Those coaches don't care about your arm. They don't. They care about their win-loss record, which is fine. They're getting paid to do that. But just remember, if you're a high school pitcher, and you get drafted in, like, the first fight, go pro. They don't care about
you. They'll use your arm up.
They will use your arm up. Don't use your arm up on free baseball.
Yeah. And I mean, it does feel a little reckless putting so many miles on their arm, so to speak. Especially like the Quinn Matthews one a couple years ago got people really worked up.
Yeah, now that's way worse.
Because 160 pitches is a lot.
But you know, I mean, this guy was at 128 pitches in this game. Number one projected pick and he was at 128. He gives up a hit. They leave him in.
Right. Yeah. Did you see Broadus getting into it over the weekend on Twitter over his LSU Tigers?
No.
So
he wasn't the one on that show I was worried about over the weekend on Twitter. My God.
Somebody texted or somebody tweeted at Brian, and shout out to Peyton Russell for showing me this. Thank you, Peyton.
Oh, thanks for throwing me under the bus, Bobby.
You should have said that. If you would have said the audio email, I would have done it. Somebody tweeted, Brian, go Tigers. Congrats, B. And then they replied back to that. Some other user replied back and said, wow, what a shocker. A school whose baseball budget is five times the entire athletic budget of Coastal Carolina barely won. Hey, congrats. So then Brian quoted it and said, life got you a little down? The news overseas is a little unsettling, I have to admit.
What a line. That's a great line.
Well done, Broadus.
Brian, nothing gets Brian more worked up than LSU. LSU will get him. That'll get him going.
Yeah. Oh, he absolutely will. It absolutely will get him going. I enjoyed the College World Series, though. I mean, I think that it's really kind of captivating. And when I was in college, you couldn't even barely find it on TV. It was like just the finals run. Now, dang near the entire tournament is on. They do a great job covering it. It's fun. Young kids really enjoy college baseball. And look, there's emotion, a ton of emotion in it. You don't see, or you've seen less of at the major league level. You're starting to see more of it. But it was a good tournament, and you know, a team like Coastal, can get in there and. They've been in this position before.
Yeah.
Murray State was there. They have an 800-seat stadium. I read that the coach mows the lawn at the stadium. I've heard that be kind of like disputed, but I'm going with it.
It's like the bounce houses at D3 schools, like football, when you see like there's a bounce house in the background and kids are playing. It's charming. The coach has to mow the lawn.
It's charming. So, yeah. But there you go. That was me getting into it. And again, it wasn't about LSU. It was just about I just don't think college coaches care enough about your arm the way they should as a pitcher. But whatever. That's just me. All right. That is Diamond Cavs here on 105.3 The Fan. We got a That's new music, huh? You got new music Monday?
Yeah, we got some new music coming up, and we've been getting a lot of different requests and stuff like that. Let's see if any of the requests made it. That's next on The Fan.
Eric Chiafalo in the building already. He is showing up early. He is ready to go. He's got a full show today.
He does.
I don't know what he's going to do with 4 hours. They don't have 4 hours.
Probably tweet.
Tweet, yeah. He might be tweeting. Yeah, I guess. Tweeting today. It's Sean and RJ here on 105.3 The Fan. He's looking in. I'm RJ Chop. He's Bobby Belt. Peyton and Aiden alongside. Sean is out this week. Not paternity leave. He is done with paternity. This is regular vacation. Oh. He still has all his vacation time. So he is out this
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Week, I'll be back next week, so you're stuck with me and Roberto. Hey, yeah, we'll pull in Eric at some point.
Oh yeah,
throughout the week, because if he's in all, I don't know if he's in all week or not. I think he is.
Yeah, I mean, I think we're about to talk about some political issues within the state of Texas.
Yeah, why not? That's good. Yeah. Let's do it. All right. Last night you had an NBA Finals champion be crowned, Oklahoma City. They win it, and that was a kind of I don't say the game wasn't a letdown. It's just a lot of the air was sucked out of the building
early.
Early when Halliburton went down with the Achilles, and that just stinks.
And in a game seven,
because there's no way of knowing what happens. Indiana fans will be what if in this forever.
Sure, I don't know that it's totally legitimate.
I mean, it would have
helped. It definitely impacted the game.
They got to game seven.
It impacted the game. If Tyrese Halliburton plays last night, things could be very different.
Yeah, they got to game seven. So
Oklahoma City didn't play great last night either.
No. Yeah, so they got to game seven. So you can't say they were overmatched in the series. You're in game seven. And when you lose your best player, you're like, and really somebody who controls the flow of the offense, that's just going to be more difficult.
Would that have taken bets off the board?
What do you mean?
If Halliburton went down and there were people who bet on the game, like, does that change anything with the bets on the game?
No, he played.
Even if he went down that early in the first quarter?
I mean, look, I had Indiana win the series money line, right?
Because they have pulled some stuff off the board before, right? When somebody's gotten injured early in the game.
So if you bet on a player prop.
So a Halliburton player prop would have been changed.
No, because he started. He played.
Oh, well.
Yeah. You would have to be taken out beforehand.
Because it was 7 minutes.
I know. It's nothing. It's nothing. Yeah. Look, there may be some that say, players got to play X amount, but I don't see much of that. But it stinks for Indiana. Like I said, they're going to what if this forever, but OKC was clearly a deserving champ, and they were the best team all year.
Yeah, so no fluke about it. They deserve it.
Right. I'm not asterisking their title. But if I was Indiana, I think you have the right to what if this thing.
Yeah.
People are killing their hats. Did you see that?
I didn't notice them. Let me look.
The championship hats. Cube's son O'Shea is said, bro, what is the NBA doing? I'll tell you what they're doing, man. That is the perfect hat. So it's an NBA champ. It's got it just says champions in cursive. It's got a small logo and it's got the rope. I'm a big fan of the rope. I like the rope.
I don't like the rope.
Okay,
the rope on the hat.
I like the rope. I like the rope on that. But it's got the rope. And it looks like a trucker hat. I'm like, man, it fits. It's Oklahoma, and Loves is their sponsor.
Yeah,
it fits.
I don't have a problem with that. I just don't. It's boring. It looks really boring. Like, you don't think that looks boring? It's just champions.
It's a little boring.
Especially for the logo to be so small relative to champions being spelled
it's a
out.
Little, it's a little
boring. It's like, shouldn't this emphasize who actually won instead of just like, little, like, it looks like a little footnote.
But all hats, I think all championship. Remember the Rangers one had just the big World Series thing, right? It was just, you know, it's just
that. And then they hung up a bed sheet for their pennant or whatever.
All right, we got a couple of laws passed to the state.
Yeah, we did. Well, one that was passed, one that didn't get through.
Oh, okay,
I'll let you talk about the one that didn't get through here in just a sec. I'll talk about the one that is going through.
I'm talking about that, huh?
A Texas bill. Yeah, that feels more up your alley than mine. A Texas bill banning K-12 students from using cell phones during school hours has now been signed into law, which certain schools and districts have banned the use of cell phones by students during the day, but now we have an actual uniform policy. It's not even policy. It's like law. But this is something that I know, like, at our schools, which we're in Louisville ISD. LISD, like, I'm pretty sure that's a district policy. If it's not, it's definitely a policy at the schools we're at that the kids aren't allowed to have their phones out during the day. Not allowed to mess with them. Mm-mm, not at all. Are your kids allowed to have their phones at school?
Now
they're not. Yeah, but are they allowed?
My kids, I mean, they text me during the hall, in the hall.
And are they allowed to do that?
I don't know if they're allowed to, but
we're not trying to narc on them.
Yeah, I don't know if they're allowed to, but they do.
Like Jacob couldn't use the phone, not even in like passing period or anything.
Yeah, so I mean, man, I get on my son because he's got like his headphones on and he's like, I'm in class, my headphones are on. I'm like, what do you mean your headphones are on during class?
How are you supposed to hear?
Yeah, I was like, take your headphones off during class. Everybody has one. I'm like, take your headphones off.
Are they just working off of like, basically, like work stuff off of the iPad, or they're not actually being taught?
I honestly don't know. I really don't know. I hate to say, does any dad know what's going on with their kids school? Like, honestly,
I mean, I know they banned the cell phones. Huh? No, I think it just depends on what.
Do you know
is.
Your kids' teachers' names?
I mean, they have 8 different teachers.
Exactly, yeah, that's true. Yeah,
yeah.
But
in elementary, they don't. But yeah, in middle school, she's got like 8 teachers.
Yeah, my kids, same thing. So I knew their names in elementary school, but it was like, it would take me a second. Like, do I know the?
I mix up the.
Is it Mrs.? What year was that?
All the time I will mix up like, oh wait, isn't so-and-so her teacher? It's like, no, that's the principal. I thought so-and-so is the principal. Nope, that's the assistant principal.
Right.
Well, I thought so-and-so was the assistant. Exactly. No, that's like the superintendent. I'm like, oh, okay. All right. I clearly have all those names mixed up. But yeah, when they get to middle school, it's just a bunch of, but now they're not this is actually a bill that's now been signed into law. House Bill 1481. Has banned the use of cell phones during school hours. It's been signed into law by Greg Abbott. And this has actually been passed. There's 8 states that have enacted similar bans over the last few years, including both red and blue states. So Arkansas and California have both enacted this. And now Texas joins it. So it's sort of a bipartisan issue that they're saying, we want the cell phones out of the schools. I get it for the most part, but I also think like the idea of if something's going on, my kid needs to like reach out to me about something. Like, hey, can I do this or get this? Like, I would like them to be able to have access to the phone.
They cannot bring them into school.
They have to put away. They can't get them out.
Okay.
At all. They can't use them.
All right, but you know, if there's I'll tell you this. I don't know if you had this at your school.
No, if you just need to reach out, like if she needed to reach out, Addison, about something, she couldn't use a phone to tell me. She would have to go like
okay, but
she'd have to email from her school iPad, or she would have to go talk to somebody in the office.
So now, like if there's an emergency. Like something happens at the school, like, you know, they have it.
Yeah, but they would technically be breaking rules by getting it out.
Right.
They're supposed to go to the office.
There's a threat. Like,
oh, sure.
You know, at least I want that.
Yeah.
So I want them to be able to have it in school. You know, but also, I don't know, like my kids' schools, both of them, there is zero cell service there. You can't make a call.
Oh, it's pretty bad.
Is it pretty bad in
one of the schools? Yeah, especially if I'm having lunch with one of the girls or something. Like in the lunchroom, you can't.
I hate that. Like, I'm out. Like, I'm trying to text them. I'm outside to pick them up, and, like, I can't get anything through. It's really, really bad. It's even around – it's just the area around the schools is bad. So I don't know if that's the reason.
817, I had a science teacher that would let me listen to music on my headphones during class if I had a perfect 100 in her class, and I kept that perfect 100 all the way through the first semester. Look at that. So maybe it's a nice encouragement. What's the other bit of news that broke late last night and kind of surprising, Chop?
Okay, so I had heard something about this, like that there was a bill that was on the books. But Texas Governor Greg Abbott vetoed a bill on Sunday to ban all THC consumables, allowing the booming market flush with infused vapes, gummies, and others to continue to be sold across the state. Is this that Delta stuff? Because we can't have...
Right. This was a ban on any THC related products that were being sold.
Okay, but now you could still do it.
This has been vetoed, so it's been shot down for now. So it's still alive for now because okay. Abbott shot it down. But it seemed to surprise some people last night. I know there were some that apparently thought he might do this, but it caught some others off guard. It seemed like.
I mean, look, I think that I don't have a problem with marijuana being legalized at all. I think we should legalize it. So that's just me. But I get people that don't want it. But I also think I should be able to do whatever I want. I'm over 21. I'm 45 years old. You know, if I want to do something, I should be able to do it.
And this was a bill that Dan Patrick was a big supporter of, the lieutenant governor. He was a big supporter of this. So Abbott shooting this down.
I can't keep track of who's in charge.
Abbott's in charge. He shot this down. But a special session has been called now to further discuss the issue. So it'll continue to be debated and discussed. But for now, it goes down. Abbott vetoed it, so it lives another day.
In this news article, it says Texas has some of the strictest marijuana laws in the country, prohibiting all recreational use and providing a limited capacity for medical marijuana. The consumables market has allowed residents to legally access goods, giving a similar high to the Marahuchi.
Ah,
the old Marahuchi. All right, it is. We've reached the time of the show on a Monday in the 8:20 segment where we do a little new music, and Bobby Belt will debut the music of the weekend.
I'm Casey Kasem. Coming up next are the three biggest hits of the year.
Hopefully these are the three biggest hits of the year. I mean, unless you hate them.
All right, I'm going to write these down. Let's go.
All right, we're going to jump into these songs real quick. There was a lot of new big-time releases on Friday over the weekend. And a lot of big name artists that had them come out. We have Ed Sheeran, some more from Teddy Swims, and then Benson Boone had one. We'll start with Benson Boone, who I didn't realize. I mean, I'd known he blew up recently. I didn't realize. Did you know he's an American Idol guy?
Is he related to Brett?
I assume so, yeah. I mean,
I didn't know
they're all over there. But I didn't know he's an American Idol guy. This is the latest from Benson Boone, which is the top one streamed, the top new song streamed on Spotify this weekend, Mr. Electric Blue. Not bad. He's a little bit of like a he's a little bit of a throwback. So yeah. he's not your typical like modern day pop star stuff. It's a little bit more folksy and I don't know, kind of Charlie Puth like. I feel okay. Like the way Charlie Puth is.
Charlie.
It's not bad. It's not terrible. It's a decent little vibe. We had the Ed Sheeran song from F1 that got released a couple weeks ago. It was okay. Mm-hmm. I think you guys liked it more than I did.
Yeah.
I like this one a little bit better. This one's called Drive. So it's a little more like grungy, a little rocky than more of his stuff. He's typically been the coffee shop acoustic guy.
Yeah, coffee shop acoustic
guy. And then kind of evolved a little bit, but this one's not bad. He had a song similar to this one, I felt like. It was called Blow that he did with Chris Stapleton a couple years ago that had a similar energy. So he'll drop it on you every now and then. With F1, they're trying to go kind of rocky.
I think I hate that song. I think I really... It sounds like something that like a band that is a cover band would put on their, hey, this is my debut album.
Yeah.
Sounds like something like that.
I don't think it's bad. It's a little cookie cutter, but I don't think it's bad. This is the last one of the weekend. Teddy Swims featuring Dallas' own Big X the Plug. This one is All Gas, No Brakes. That's not bad. It's a vibe. It's a little chill.
I think it's the best one of the three.
Yeah, I think it easily is.
I think it's anything with Big X the Plug I'm in on.
Which I didn't even get to the Big X the Plug part in the song.
No.
But this is, Teddy Swims. He was he had the number one song on Billboard last year, Lose Control. So he's looking to take over again. He's had two songs that we've played recently that were pretty good. So
like
those are your newest songs.
I like that last one. Oh, yeah, All Gas, No Brakes, Teddy Swims. All right, it is new music Monday. It's Sean and RJ here, 105 through the fan. What's coming up next in Below the Belt?
What would you possibly let your child learn from Kelvin Joseph? That's next in Below the Belt on the fan.
The great Bobby Belt.
Bobby Belt is an idiot.
Don't make me take off my belt.
Don't make me take off my belt.
We're not.
Over to you, Bobby.
Chop.
Bobby.
What would you allow Luca and Julian to learn from one Boss Man Fat, a.k.a. Kelvin Joseph?
Would I allow them to?
What would you allow them to? Like the list of things you might allow them to. When I tased it and said, what would you allow your kid to learn? 469 said, Calvin could teach my kid how to put on a jumpsuit. Like that. So, I mean, like, do you have anything that you would?
Yeah, actually, I think that, you know, I would want my kids to learn from somebody who did wrong.
That's good. As long as there was remorse there, right?
I think it's
like you wouldn't just want to hear from somebody who's like, yeah, I don't regret any of that.
Right. Like, you know, how to stay out of trouble. I'm a firm believer that, you know, you want to get marriage advice, go to somebody who's been married like 3 times.
Okay.
You know, like if I have a drug habit, I want to help kick it. I want to go somebody who's already kicked it. As opposed to somebody who's never done it before.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or menstclinic.com.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
But you also wouldn't go to somebody for like, hey, tell me how to kick this drug habit while you're shooting up or something.
Yes.
Yeah, that doesn't make a lot of sense. All right, this had to be the most, I'm not going to say who it is, a friend of ours, though, sent me this. This had to be the most tone-deaf thing I've ever seen.
Did you follow?
No. Kelvin Joseph put out there, the Kelvin Joseph Foundation was hosting a free youth football camp in Louisiana this past weekend. Okay. So he's putting it on for the kids. I don't know what he's going to teach them about football. I mean, he played a lot of special teams. Probably could teach him how to be a gunner, I would imagine. Mm-hmm. Run down on punt coverage. But this is something where, and if you look at it, I can't. This is the second year in a row he's done this, where he's put on this camp, and it's this very vague. This is what the mission statement of his foundation is. It says that the foundation impacts the youth by providing opportunities with tools to define their knowledge and visions. Could you interpret that for me?
Tools to...
They impact the youth by providing opportunities with tools to define their knowledge and visions. Usually there's something like, we help single moms out. We're going to give them money. I don't know what kind of like laundering definition this is.
Yeah, I think they could have used, if they threw the word ignite in there, that would have helped.
Yeah, something like that.
Right? So, instead of define, ignite. Ignite their knowledge.
If I break down every word of this, I still don't know what it means. Like, it's like...
We help single moms out.
So what is the name? What do you do? Well, we're going to give them a bunch of opportunities. What kind? Well, the kind you need tools for.
The kind you need tools for to define your knowledge and vision.
Tools to do what? You know, define their knowledge. The hell is defining your knowledge? Oh, that's right. Defining their visions, whatever.
Yeah.
It's like, how did I, like, guys, we have ChatGPT. At least put it into that or something.
Oh, my God. That's a great mission statement, man.
But, man, this is
top five.
It legitimately came up as a debate. I was talking about this with a friend. That's why I bring it up. Knowing everything that Kelvin Joseph has been involved with or been accused of, whatever else. Would you, knowing this was like, let's say this is around the corner from your house and your kid was like, there's a football camp around the corner, it's free. Would you let your kid attend this?
Look.
Given everything he's been tied to. I understand it. And I understand he hasn't been convicted yet either. But knowing the associations and everything else, and the likelihood is nothing is going to happen there. He's going to just get football training in that environment. But is there anything to you that says, I'm uncomfortable with that guy right now, given what we've seen from him teaching my kid anything, even if it's just going to be football?
I'll be honest. My kids go to a lot of camps. My kid's at a camp right now. All right, my youngest one is. I have no idea who the camp counselors are, what their qualifications are. I don't know what their Have they gone through a background check? I have no idea. None.
Right. But you do know this one, which is why it would stand out.
Okay, it would stand out. But no, it's a football camp. It's an NFL guy. Can he teach my kid how to play football? Yes. That's pretty
much. He was an NFL guy. Then he was a UFL guy. Now he's not even a UFL guy.
No, but he was in the league. He was in college. See, I think what a lot of people, mess up here with these camp things is that most think that, like, oh, my kid's going to go to the league. No, like, your goal as a parent is, like, get your kid to high school. And then anything beyond that they do, that's on their own. And, like, it's not just about getting you to the NFL. Can he get you to college? Can he teach you stuff about the game that other people couldn't? So I would have no problem.
Which game? Some of the stuff we're getting
on the Panthers. Dangerous game.
By the way, the thing that really has stood out, we're getting some feedback on whether or not they would let their kid do this. But the thing we're really getting feedback on, Chop, is 940, early nomination for worst take. RJ saying he's going to someone who's been married 3 times for marriage advice. That we've got 832. That sounds awful. My wife's mom has been married 5 times. I don't want any marriage advice for her. They're pushing back on your marriage advice from the 5-time divorce.
This is what happened. They're taking it literally. They're taking it just too literally. Part of it is knowing what not to do.
Okay. And I would understand if you actually learned from it.
You got to learn from it. Yeah, you got
to
learn from it.
That's what it depends on. All right. Below the belt here on 105 Through the Fan, which is brought to you, by the way, by D&M Leasing. You can check them out at dmautoleasing.com. Tom Brady, he has been there. There's a problem here that's coming, Chop. And Tom Brady's going to have to give up the Fox job is what I'm learning here. So
you think so?
Yeah. So here's the thing is that you remember we had this issue early on where we were hearing that there was pushback from teams about why is, like, Tom Brady's got this advantage if he gets to be down on the field, talk to people in his capacity as a broadcaster, have these conversations. It gives him a competitive advantage he's not supposed to have as somebody who's in a front office executive position, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the Raiders consistently just keep going like, he doesn't even really do anything. What are y'all talking about? Well, then we get an article from The Athletic that talks about, oh yeah, the GM runs everything by him. Everything's basically just got to be rubber stamped by him.
Yeah.
He's essentially the veto pen. He's Abbott with the THC, Bill.
There you go.
He can rubber stamp it or he can veto it. And you remember when we hear all that, man, this is how involved he is. And then it's like, well, okay, why didn't you guys take Shedeur Sanders if that's Brady's guy? And what did Brady say? He's like, I'm not really involved. Right. I don't really have anything to do with the quarterbacks. Well, now comes the news from Pro Football Talk. Tom Brady was opposed to the Raiders signing Sam Darnold. This is what Florio writes. He says, it's not necessarily new, but it's worth mentioning. In a recent item from Mike Silver of The Athletic regarding quarterback Sam Darnold's latest fresh start in Seattle, Silver reports that Raiders minority owner Tom Brady didn't want to pursue Darnold as the team's next quarterback. That meshes with the reporting that emerged after Matthew Stafford decided to stay in L.A. Brady and Raiders GM John Spytek weren't enamored with the other veteran options. While the coaching staff wasn't thrilled with the idea of targeting and developing a rookie, Geno Smith became the compromise candidate given his clear connection to coach Pete Carroll. Why? Why is he able to continue to do this given his position on the air?
Well, I mean, because he's an owner.
Right. But that's as an owner. And then they're trying so hard publicly to make it look like he's not involved.
Right.
I've been rewatching The Wire, okay? And I know you've never seen The Wire.
I've not.
But one of the things they always make the point of is they're like, they're trying to get whoever it may be, Marlo Stanfield or Avon Barksdale or one of these guys running drugs in the city. And what they always say is they're like, you're not getting that guy in the room with, like, drugs on the table. You're not going to walk in on a bust and they're standing there. They're the kingpin. They're never going to be in the room with drugs. You're not going to get them on the phone lazily talking about stuff. You're probably never going to be able to wiretap them on the phone because that's not how they operate. They are the kingpin. They are meant to be, like, removed from the situation, very visibly removed from the situation. Brady's like the opposite of that. Brady's like, you're supposed to be the kingpin. And Brady's like, hey, what are we doing here? Do you guys need help unpacking the drugs onto the table? Like, he's so clearly involved. And so clearly making decisions while at the same time trying to look like, I'm not really involved in the day-to-day operations. That's why I can continue to do my broadcasting. He has to pick one.
Man, I struggle with this topic because, like, we've never seen it before. We've just never seen it before. But we are approaching the player era of ownership, team ownership.
Sure.
And these guys are going to want to get into other avenues too.
But it seems like a very simple, yeah, but you can't do both of these. Pick one of them. It's not like they're saying he can't do both of them. Like it's not like, well, you can't,
yeah.
We're banning you from being an owner and banning you from being a broadcaster. It's like, no, just pick. Like, you need to pick one.
So if, you think there's a clear conflict of interest?
Yes.
And that would be
not specifically with the Darnold situation. It's just another example of he's clearly involved in the decision making. There's way too much intel and lobbying and tampering that can be done in his role as a broadcaster if he's also a decision maker. If you're a minority owner, I own a stake. It's not a problem for me to be on the field and talk to somebody. I'm not influencing anything. When you are clearly influencing organizational operations and you're able to go down and get in somebody's ear on the football field because of your access as a broadcaster, that's a problem.
Okay, let me ask you this. What if Phil Knight bought an NFL team? Or whoever owns Gatorade bought an NFL team.
It's a different operation because it's like, to me, you're talking about with Phil Knight and maybe with Gatorade, it might be different. I don't know, just because of whatever their sponsorship stuff is. And I know Nike has sponsorship deals too, mm-hmm. but...
Because isn't Nike still the uniform?
Right. So the thing that is different to me about it would be just the fact that Brady is there as like access to the players and discussion. Like Phil Knight or whoever the Gatorade guy is, they're a businessman who they could probably get an audience in front of somebody. That's not going to be the same as like somebody leaning in your ear like Tom Brady and going like, hey, what are you doing after this season? Like, would you come to the
Raiders? But how would it be different than like, let's just say Phil Knight owned the Seahawks,
mm-hmm.
right? And Dak goes in there because Dak's the Nike guy, right, Jordan?
Mm-hmm.
And he's like, hey, you know, I know we got this night. I know you're with the Cowboys, but you know what? When your contract's up, why don't you come over here and play for Seattle? And you can...
Yeah, I mean, that would be tampering. He'd get in
trouble
for it.
Of course it's tampering.
But that, like, they wouldn't block him from being an owner. He wouldn't be allowed to do that. Brady's job requires him to talk to these people. Like, it's part of the job. Is gathering right. the intel, doing... Now, I know he's not sitting in on the pre-production meetings, right. but then he is on the field, and he's talking to people. He's talking about, I was down on the field earlier talking to this person. And that's fine. It's not like... It's unreasonable to think Tom Brady shouldn't be able to talk to somebody. But the idea that the position that he's in and how they're so clearly the Raiders trying to make it look like he's not involved right. when yeah. he's 100% involved.
He's involved. There's no doubt. I mean, I just look at it like he's Tom Brady. If Tom Brady goes... If Tom Brady's if he's not broadcasting, he's just an owner.
Mm-hmm.
He's still Tom Brady,
right?
You know, like he's still like there would be an audience with everybody.
But right, but there would be a closer eye kept on him. It would stand out to the league more. Why are you talking to players on other teams so much?
Yeah.
Whereas right now, I'm talking to him because I'm doing a broadcast. I have to.
Yeah, and he would say, I'm talking to him because I'm Tom Brady.
And that's what teams are going to start having to push back on. More and more teams are going to start. My prediction, here's my bold prediction for the NFL season. By season's end, some team, we're going to hear a report or there will be an official complaint that some team is saying that Tom Brady tampered with their player pregame.
Yeah, that's going to happen?
I think we're going to get an accusation of it. Whether it's legit or not, I think a team is going to accuse Brady of doing it.
Yeah, I don't disagree that they're going to have that. Someone's going to accuse that. I don't know. Like, I'm just thinking, like, if Tom Brady is just the owner of the Raiders and he calls up the Titans and says, hey, I want to come to your game with a field pass, they're going to give him a field pass. He's Tom Brady.
Right. They're going to. But they are going to. It's going to be a lot easier for them to spot. Oh, you were accused of tampering with CeeDee Lamb.
Yeah.
You were accused of tampering with CeeDee Lamb. We saw you were down on the field. As an owner, you were not a broadcaster. You were down there talking to CeeDee Lamb before the game. Okay, what was that conversation?
I understand.
Whereas now he could just say, I had to talk to him before the game.
Yep. B-Lo.
D-Belt.
Right here on 105.3 The Fan. We got the Red Zone. We have got Crosstalk, the KNC Masterpiece. And we have a new, it's a new foe, a new rival in state. Kevin Durant going to Houston, traded the morning of Game 7. Let's talk to Reggie Atitula.
Got that, Reggie.
Buddy, right here. Next on The Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's Tea Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tea Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tea Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-TEA or MensTeaClinic.com.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Dominate your fantasy baseball league with Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stanfill, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll get you the latest news, waiver wire ads and drops, trades to make, prospect promotions, and everything else you need to take down your league. Follow and listen to Fantasy Baseball Today on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.